Red Film Radio, I'm Matt McCoochie from the 59th Cork Film Festival, joined by filmmaker Patrick Ryan and actresses Emma Eliza Regan and Emma Willis, who are presenting the film Darkness on the Edge of Town.
So, first of all, I'd like to start off by asking you to tell our listeners what the story of the film is about.
The story of Darkness on the Edge of Town is about a girl called Cleo Callahan, who's a teenage sharpshooter, a troubled teenage sharpshooter. Her sister is found murdered one day, and she decides to avenge the death of her sister, not knowing that it's her best and only friend who has committed the murder. And not that that's giving anything away, you find that out at the start, so that's not the ending revealed.
So where did the inspiration for a story like this come from?
It's a western, it's a modern western. It was shot in Kerry, and I've long since wanted to do a western in Kerry because the landscape lends itself to it so well. So we took that as a jumping off point for the visual side and the kind of genre of the story. And the actual plot was inspired by Shakespeare and the Greek poets, the Greek tragedies. So I kind of fused those two together. And we got this, and a bit of Bruce Springsteen in there as well.
That's it. Title. Explain the title, please.
The title, it's just my favorite album of The Boss, and it's so evocative. Oh man, I would have loved to have had the track as the ending credits, but it was outside our price range. It would have cost three times as much as the entire film.
It's outside a lot of production price
range. Yeah, but it was just a very evocative title that I thought fitted well as being a tribute to a great album.
Obviously, in a film like this, you're going to need good performances. The performances in this film are amazing also because they're very restrained. And I was just wondering, first off, if you could tell the listeners how it all began for you, this journey began.
For Emma Willis, it began a lot earlier than me. But I came on board January 2012. I met Patrick Ryan in the IFI and we went through the script. And we had basically from January to August, I worked with Patrick and Emma Willis and Tommy occasionally on the character, and we did some rehearsals in March, wasn't it? We shot the promo because we were funding it all summer, so we came on. Like, it's very rare for me to get cast in a film and then have like 7 or 8 months preparation, so this was really, really great.
Must have been good though. Usually a good way to
arrive on set. Yeah. It really did. Yeah, it developed the character so much more, and the relationship with the director and the other actors and even Tommy was really strong. So by the time we got on set, I think it was really ready at that stage. Yeah. So
I first heard about the film from Tommy Fitzgerald. I did a short with him when I was 15, 16, and then when I was 17, he asked me what I want to do this trailer for his friend Patrick, and I got sent the script and I read it. It was a bit different to how we filmed it in the end, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think you may have only got parts of it, actually, scenes. And like,
I may not have even read it all.
The first trailer was just walk over there and hold this knife like this, look that way. Because you're just trying to get the best for trailers, you're just trying to get a sense of the thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So it was, but that was your first introduction to it.
Well, one of the things that I really admired in the film and was already discussed in the Q&A was one of the first things that I actually noticed about it was that the female characters here are playing a role that usually in cinematic terms, strict cinematic term, would be for male actors. So, I mean, these parts don't come by very often, do they?
No, it's extremely rare, and actually, it's not the first thing you notice about the script, but it is very rare to find two female characters driving it, and they're very brave and strong in their own ways.
Yeah.
And
they're not your typical female in a western, the damsel in distress.
Yeah, but I think actually, Patrick said earlier he didn't intend on doing this feminist movie, and I never intended it on that either. All I was really focusing on was Cleo's journey and what she was going through and the death of her sister and relying on her only friend, who was a female. And I think actually that we were all just being really true to our characters in ways. And another thing I noticed is Breen's character is quite vulnerable, and I think that's quite nice because he's the male character and he's her older brother, but he's one of the more vulnerable characters. But I think it's also very true. I think all the characters are very, very relatable, and the situation she was in, that's how she dealt with it, you know. I don't think it was this unrealistic thing about doing two women, you know. I think it was very true.
But it is probably a role that, when I was filming it, I felt so lucky because I was just finished my first year of college. And so I was like, these are kind of the roles that after college I would have dreamed of, to play this big female character with such a story, and getting to play it so early on in my career was crazy. I may never play a role like that again. I might.
Well, you know, you still got a whole career ahead.
Yeah, but those kind of, for two female leads to have that much kind of power and they drive the whole film is. It is rare.
That's a concept that I actually would love to discuss, because even you mentioned Westerns, but I think even film noirs, and even in the times of like the femme fatales, there was a sort of like female empowerment through these types of characters that has been lost throughout the years, maybe like even towards like the age of consensus in American cinema, the 50s. So it takes us back in a way to more classist cinema. And I know you mentioned that the visuals too were inspired by Asian cinema, and so you had a lot of influences there, even in a visual point of view.
Yeah, the visuals. I was seeing a lot of Irish films, a lot of independent Irish films, shot handheld, just kind of scattershot, editing not very considered, no sense of direction or purpose or identity. So we made a conscious effort to make sure that we had a very definite visual style for that. And that was a lot of Japanese films, they tend to hang the camera back a little bit. It's all on a tripod, and it's a slow kind of build, very composed shots, and we tried to inject a bit of that because I find that I have a lot of time for that stuff in the cinema. So it was, yeah, largely Japanese cinema was a big visual influence, yeah.
How did you get it financed? I mean, it's not easy to make any film nowadays, but especially, you know, for an independent feature in Ireland, shot in Kerry.
Yeah, yeah. we crowdfunded is essentially what happened. We raised 12,000 on Indiegogo, and we put in we had a couple of outside donations, friends and family, and then ourselves. So we brought the budget up to about 18,000, I think, all in, which is nothing. It's nothing to make a film.
How much was the final?
18,000.
That's amazing.
That's everything now. That is not just the shoot. That is sound. That's post production. That's everything. For 18,000.
Yeah, and people complain when they're like, oh, you know, we only had 10 million, you know, and this was made, it looks like it was made for a lot more. It's amazing.
Thank you. We that was our goal, to make it look as professional as possible, but it on the flip side of that, you know, it takes a lot of work. It takes a year of post-production. You lose time when you do it.
You're asking yourself, what am I doing? I mean, is this even going to work?
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes. Yeah.
When are we going to get it finished? But now it's finished, and I really wish you all the best with it. But you have to work with a small crew, which in ways it can be a blessing in disguise.
Absolutely. I think there's generally too many people kicking around film sets. I think that the second, third AD is off, standing looking into a coffee. Like everyone on this set was moving and working, and part of the job as a director, I think, is to try and inspire people to give you their best. So that is made easier by a smaller crew, because everyone feels like they're contributing something. So there was no doubling up of jobs, and there was very rarely two people on the same job. You know, the costume girl Tanya was responsible for the costumes, and makeup girl Julie was responsible for the makeup, and that was their area, and I hope they brought their best to it, or I tried to make it so that they would want to do that.
So how does like a small crew affect performances in relation to like maybe say, or in comparison to working with a lot of people standing around you, especially in the more intimate scenes that you guys share, and there's plenty of them?
I think the smaller the crew, the more you get to know them, the more professional they can be then when the camera actually starts rolling. I know for a lot of the intimate scenes, I think some of them were like unless if you didn't need to be in the room, don't be in the room. Yeah, that kind of a way.
I was very
everyone's
kind of
very professional.
Yeah, everyone was great, and yeah, the film there is a reflection of like the everyone. Team's work. Yeah.
So the film actually starts off with a lot of silence. I think it's quite a while before.
It's 9 minutes of silence. Yeah.
Very refreshing to see, let me tell you, in a film like.
I think, to be totally honest, there's a slight bit of showing off about that. I think, like, I was like, let's see how many pages I can go without anyone saying anything. You know, when you're writing, because you hear it from all these screenwriting books that, you know, they tell you show, don't tell, you know, dialogue, less dialogue, the better. Yeah. So I was like, well, how far can I get into this thing before someone has to say something?
Yeah.
So there was a bit of that. There was also that I wanted to be completely unique. A unique film in Irish film, so I couldn't think of a film that started like that. So I thought that was a good way to approach it, an original way to come in and get see if you could get people as a test to see if you can get people hooked in those opening minutes when anyone says no one's saying anything. Because if you can get them, then they're probably going to be with you for the whole thing.
So now the film is made, and I think it's an excellent film. Certainly not the typical film you would see produced in Ireland. You know, whether it's independent or not. So what's the next step? Have you guys got any distribution, or are you still in the process of looking for it?
We're still looking for it, and we haven't gone after it too aggressively yet because we didn't know what we've got, essentially. So I was keen to get it out in front of audiences and see what people made of it. And the response, I think the response overall is pretty good. So I think we'll probably look. We finished the Irish festivals now, so we'll look for international ones, I think, next year, and hopefully get some distribution, but that'll be the goal. Yeah,
that's great. Well, I wish you all the best with it.
Thank you.
So thanks very much for joining us. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks very much, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.